Face-to-Face Upper Intermediate by Chris Redstone and Julie Cunningham. Published by Cambridge University Press. This recording is copyright. CD 1. Recording 1.1.
I started studying Spanish after I went to Argentina on holiday last year. I'd never been to South America before, and I couldn't speak a word of Spanish. While I was travelling around the country, I picked up enough words and phrases to get by. I was told that my pronunciation was quite good, so when I got home, I decided to learn Spanish properly. A friend recommended a school, and I've been going there for about 6 months. I always enjoy the lessons, and the language is taught in a communicative way. I think that I've learnt a lot since I started. It's not all fun, though. At the moment, I'm studying for my first exam.
Recording 1.2.
Hi, my name's Tim.
Hi, I'm Mia. Nice to meet you.
You too. You went to Professor Lee's geography lecture yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, but I didn't understand very much.
Oh, neither did I. But don't worry about it. It's only the first one.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Anyway, how's your first week going?
Oh, it's just been crazy. I haven't stopped since I got here.
No, me neither. And it's a huge campus. I keep getting lost.
Yeah, so do I. Yesterday I was walking around for ages looking for the bookshop.
Did you find it?
Yes, eventually. But it took me about half an hour.
Well, at least you found it in the end. Maybe you should get a map.
I did have a map. I just couldn't work out where I was to start with.
So, what are you studying?
I'm doing a degree in environmental science.
Are you? My brother's done that course. He graduated last July.
Did he? Has he found a job yet?
Yes, he has, actually. He's just started working for an environmental charity in London. He doesn't get paid very much, but it's a start.
Well, that's encouraging. And what are you studying?
Geography and economics.
Oh.
Most people think economics is really boring, but I don't. I do find it quite difficult, though.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'd be completely confused.
Yeah. Anyway, do you live here on campus?
No, I don't. I was told it was really expensive, so I'm living in a shared house about 2 miles from here.
Oh.
It seemed the cheapest option, and I don't want to borrow too much money.
No, neither do I. I've already got a student loan, and I've spent quite a bit of it already.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Right, I have to go. I've got a lecture at 2.
So have I. Maybe see you again soon.
Yeah, I hope so. And try not to get lost again.
I'll do my best. Bye.
Recording 1.3. 1.
She made it. She's made it.
2.
He'd started it. He started it.
3.
You taught it. You're taught it.
4.
I lost it. I've lost it.
5.
We'll watch it. We watch it.
6.
I want to buy it. I won't buy it.
Recording 1.4. 1.
He hasn't decided which college he's going to yet. He hasn't decided which college he's going to yet.
2.
When I've finished my degree, I'd like to do a PhD. When I've finished my degree, I'd like to do a PhD.
Three.
She's waiting to hear if she's passed her exams. She's waiting to hear if she's passed her exams.
Four.
I'd been to a private school, but I didn't like it. I'd been to a private school, but I didn't like it.
Five.
She doesn't think she'll go to the tutorial today. She doesn't think she'll go to the tutorial today.
Six.
I've started a master's and I'm really enjoying it. I've started a master's and I'm really enjoying it.
Recording 1.5.
Hi, Mia. Have you had lunch yet?
Yes, I have. But I can stay and chat for a bit.
Great. So, what did you do last night?
Well, I was going to go out with some friends, but I didn't in the end. I did catch up on some sleep, though. I was in bed by 10:30.
It's been a busy few days, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And I do need my sleep.
Me too. What are you doing this evening?
Nothing special. Why do you ask?
Well, I'm going to see a band.
Are you? That sounds fun.
So, do you fancy coming along?
Yeah, sure. Call me later. Here's my number.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, did you find your lecture yesterday?
Yes, I did. And I didn't even need a map.
Recording 1.6. A.
My worst exam moment happened when I was caught cheating by my mum after a history exam. I really liked history classes, but I didn't have a very good memory. So on the morning of the exam, I wrote loads of important facts and figures on the insides of my shirt cuffs. I made sure that I got to the exam room really early so I could sit at the back. I managed to answer quite a few questions using the stuff I'd written on my shirt. I was terrified that I was going to get caught, but luckily the teacher never noticed what I was doing. Stupidly, though, when I got home, I was so happy the exam had finished that I just got changed out of my school clothes and left them on my bed. Anyway, while I was playing football with my friends in the park, my mum came to get my dirty clothes so that she could do some washing. She found the shirt and immediately realised what I'd done. She was absolutely furious, of course, and stopped my pocket money for 3 months. It taught me a lesson, though, and I've never cheated at anything since.
B.
My worst exam nightmare was definitely my French O-level oral exam. When I was at school, this was over 20 years ago now, kids weren't taught how to actually speak French. We just did loads of grammar exercises and translated texts and stuff. So I knew quite a lot of grammar and my written French wasn't too bad, but I didn't have a clue how to have even the most basic conversation. I think I did quite well on the written papers, but when it came to the oral exam, I couldn't understand a word the examiner was saying to me. He seemed to be speaking incredibly fast and I just got so nervous I couldn't think. The only thing I knew how to say was je ne comprends pas, which means I don't understand, of course. So every time the examiner asked me a question, I just said je ne comprends pas. That was all I said in the whole exam. The examiner probably thought I was an idiot, but at the end of the exam, he did tell me that I had very good pronunciation. I still failed, though, obviously.
Recording 1.7.
Sue, over here.
Hi, Kim. Great to see you. It's been ages, hasn't it?
Yeah, a couple of months at least. How are things?
Oh, pretty good, thanks. What about you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm still working at that new place I told you about.
Yes, I remember. How's it going?
Oh, the things are really busy at the moment. Lots of meetings and deadlines and stuff. And at the moment, this is my only free evening during the week.
Oh, why's that?
I've started doing loads of evening classes.
Really? Like what exactly?
Well, last night I did creative writing.
Uh-huh.
It sounds fun, but actually it's quite challenging.
How do you mean?
Well, we have to write something in class every week. Like, yesterday I had to imagine I was an animal and write a story about a typical day. Things like that.
Yeah, I see what you mean. What's the teacher like?
Oh, he's great. Very enthusiastic and supportive. He's written two novels, so I guess he knows what he's talking about.
Oh, I'm sure he does. What else are you doing?
Well, on Mondays I do a photography course. I got a digital camera for my birthday and there are lots of things I don't know how to do.
Such as?
Things like taking close-ups, getting the photos to print out properly, that sort of thing. Oh, and I'm doing a computer course as well. It's really difficult, actually.
Is it? How come?
Well, we're doing website design, and everyone else seems to know a lot more than I do. I'm in the intermediate class, but I might change to beginners.
Oh, wow, you are busy, aren't you?
Yes, I am. But being out almost every night is actually helping me relax more.
In what way?
Well, you know, I used to work late most evenings, but now I have to be at my classes by 6:30. And if I force myself to do something different in the evenings, it helps me sleep better.
Right. Maybe I should start doing some.
Well, you could always come to my dance class tomorrow night.
What sort of dancing?
Salsa. I go every week.
Really? Who with?
A few people from work. We're all beginners, but it's great fun. You should come. You'd love it.
Well, I'll see if I'm free and let you know.
Great. Anyway, enough about me. What are you up to at the moment?
Well, I'm off to the USA on Sunday.
Are you? How long for?
2 weeks.
Is this work or holiday?
Holiday. First, I'm going to my cousin's wedding in Seattle.
Recording 1.8. 1.
Gary called me this morning.
2.
We're going on holiday tomorrow.
3.
I'm going to the cinema tonight.
4.
We've borrowed £10,000 from the bank.
5.
I've just got an email.
6.
I've just sent an email.
7.
Pete's staying with me at the moment.
8.
I've just been told to go home.
Recording 1.9. 1.
Gary called me this morning.
What about?
2.
We're going on holiday tomorrow.
Where to?
3.
I'm going to the cinema tonight.
Who with?
4.
We've borrowed £10,000 from the bank.
What for?
5.
I've just got an email.
Who from?
6.
I've just sent an email.
Who to?
7.
Pete's staying with me at the moment.
How long for?
8.
I've just been told to go home.
Who by?
Recording 1.10.
First, I'm going to my cousin's wedding in Seattle.
Are you? Who with?
My brother, Frank. I'm rather nervous about the whole thing, though.
Really? How come?
Frank and I don't really get on particularly well.
How do you mean?
We tend to argue quite a lot.
Yes, families can be difficult, can't they? And what else are you doing?
After the wedding, I'm going on a trip that my friend Brad's organised.
Are you? What sort of trip?
We're going walking in the Rockies.
How long for?
5 days. Oh, I can't wait.
Recording 2.1. Cassie.
I resent the government telling me what I should and shouldn't eat. And, anyway, they keep changing their minds about what's good and bad for you. You don't know what to believe. For example, we're always hearing stuff about fat being bad for us. It causes heart attacks and all that. But I heard on the radio only this morning that the French eat a high-fat diet, and they have fewer heart attacks than we do in America. So where does that leave us? As for me, well, I don't care about how much fat I eat. Every day when I get home from work, I'll have a coffee and half a packet of chocolate cookies. That's a lot of fat. But I know what I like, and I eat what I like. I've always been like that. Tonight, I'll probably have a burger and fries for dinner. Even more fat. And you know what? My mom's always telling me what I should and shouldn't eat. And the joke is, I never get ill. And she's ill all the time.
Ted.
Most of the time I watch what I eat, but sometimes I'll eat things that I know are unhealthy, like ice cream or pizza. But when I was a teenager, I'd get up in the morning and go straight to the cookie jar. I used to be addicted to chocolate chip cookies. My mom used to hide them from me. And then I read a lot of books about health and nutrition, and I knew I had to change. One of the big killers is fat, so I'm always reading food labels to see what the fat content is. It drives my girlfriend crazy. And did you know that Japanese people have far fewer heart attacks than Americans? That's because they have a very low-fat diet, you know, stuff like sushi, rice, that sort of thing. They don't add fat to anything. Well, that's what I heard anyway.
Recording 2.2.
I'm used to getting up at 5 a.m. every day.
I'm slowly getting used to it.
It takes a while for a foreigner to get used to them.
I wasn't used to people driving so close to me.
I still haven't got used to being a pedestrian here.
I'll never get used to doing that.
Recording 2.3.
Prefer. Preference. Preferable. Preferably.
Originate. Originality. Origin. Original. Originally.
Realism. Reality. Realistic. Realistically.
Responsibility. Responsible. Responsibly.
Recognize. Recognition. Recognizable. Recognizably.
Recording 2.4. Nancy.
I've been running a sandwich delivery service in the centre of the city for over a year. When I first started, I wasted loads of time because I wasn't at all organised. After I'd started making the sandwiches, I'd realised that I hadn't got everything I needed for all the different fillings. That meant I'd have to spend another hour in the supermarket, or even a couple of hours sometimes. So then I was late with all the deliveries.
But 4 or 5 months ago, I did a time management course. It was rather expensive, but I got a lot from it. They taught me simple things like how to write good lists. Now I have a file on my computer for all the food I buy, so when I go shopping, I just print the list off. They also suggested timing how long it takes to get from one place to another, and that means I can be more realistic about how long I need to deliver all the sandwiches. And my regular customers all order in advance now, so that means I can get all the food at the same time and nothing's wasted. Yeah, things are a lot more organised now. And I've also stopped trying to make the perfect sandwich. People don't notice the difference between excellent and perfect. Yes, the business is improving, and I'm sure it's all due to that course I did.
Jake.
As part of the introductory week at university, we had to do a time management course. I was dreading it, but actually some of it was, really helpful. I learned how to prioritise things, you know, really think about what was important or urgent, deadlines for coursework and stuff like that, which helps me to keep things in perspective. And doing two things at once was another good suggestion. So if I'm travelling, I'll listen to my tape notes, or while I'm in the shower, I'll try to remember things from my last lecture. But some of their suggestions were totally unrealistic, like how long you have to study for each subject. So if a subject is difficult, they recommended you study 4 hours for every hour in class. That means I should be studying maths for 20 hours a week outside of class. No way am I going to do that. But one thing that really surprised me was they told us not to be perfectionists. You can't be perfect, so you only disappoint yourself. I think that's right. As the course leader said, there will always be people weaker and stronger than you. Just learn to live with it. Yeah, it was a good course. I think I learnt a lot.
Recording 2.5. 1.
Later. Later on.
2.
Far. Far away.
3.
Better. Better idea.
4.
More. More often.
5.
Another. Another hour.
6.
Sure. Sure about.
Recording 2.6.
Jenny, you haven't touched your sandwich. Look, Liam has nearly finished his.
Don't want it.
Okay, go and play with Harriet then. Oh dear, she's hardly eaten anything.
Don't worry about it. It's best just to let kids eat when they want.
I don't know about that. I think it's important for kids to get used to good eating habits as early as possible. That's what I did with my kids. And when I look after Liam, that's what I do with him. Right from the word go, you should make them stay at the table until they finish their food.
I can't really see the point of forcing kids to eat. I think that just makes kids hate mealtimes and food becomes a bigger problem.
Oh, do you think so? I think if kids aren't allowed to play until they've eaten their food, they soon learn to empty their plates. You have to be strict right from the beginning or they just get into bad habits.
I see what you mean.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I've never been strict with Harriet, and she eats anything. All you have to do is make it fun. Like, for example, letting them help when you're getting food ready.
I see your point. I must admit, we always send Jenny out of the kitchen when we're cooking.
Quite right, too. It's dangerous in a kitchen for a five-year-old.
I suppose that's true, actually.
But life's dangerous for a five-year-old. They're always falling down and stuff. And I don't mean... I'm not suggesting you leave the kid alone in the kitchen to make the meal. You're there supervising everything.
I should imagine it slows everything down if they're helping you.
OK, yes. But on the other hand, they're learning valuable life lessons.
You might be right there. That's a good point.
Well, I'm still not convinced. What can a five-year-old do to help in the kitchen?
Little things, like letting them get things for you out of the fridge or the cupboards. Or let them wash the vegetables for you. Just simple things.
You mean sort of make it a game?
But Harriet's a girl.
Well, I can't argue with that.
No, I mean, I don't think little boys are interested in that kind of thing, do you?
Oh, I don't think that's necessarily the case at all.
Yes, and you'll never find out if he's interested unless you give it a go. Anyway, it's important that boys learn how to cook, don't you think?
I suppose you've got a point there. Right, Liam, time to go. You're doing the cooking this evening.
Recording 2.7.
I think children under 8 should go to bed at 7.
Do you think so? Why not let them go to bed when they're tired?
I don't know about that. Kids never admit they're tired.
That's a good point.
Yes, I think 7 o'clock is a good bedtime for all young kids.
You might be right there.
Well, I can't really see the point of forcing kids to go to bed.
But if you don't, parents never have any time on their own.
I see what you mean.
Well, I'm still not convinced. If my kids were all in bed at 7, I'd never see them.
But if they're up late, they get bad-tempered.
Yes, you can't argue with that.
Recording 2.8.
Chill out, what you yelling for? Lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you will see. The way you are when we're driving in your car and you're talking to me one-on-one, but you've become somebody else around everyone else, watching your back like you can't relax. You try to be cool, you look like a fool to me. Tell me, why'd you have to go? Something else. Well, you aren't where it's at. You'll see, you're making me laugh out when you strike your pose. Take off all your preppy clothes. You know you're not fooling anyone when you become somebody else. One day before. And if you could only let it be, you will see somebody else run everyone else. You're watching your back like you can't relax. You try to be cool, you look like a fool to me. Tell me, why'd you have to go?
Recording 3.1.
Three more coffees, please, Sam.
Coming right up.
Did you hear what happened at the parking lot near here yesterday?
No, what?
Apparently, a woman had been shopping, and when she went back to the parking lot, she saw four men in her car. So, she took a gun out of her purse and threatened to shoot them.
Whoa, what did they do?
Well, they got out of the car and just ran away. But then, get this, when the woman got into the car, she realized it wasn't hers. Her car looked identical, but it was parked nearby.
So, what happened next?
Well, of course, she was horrified at what she'd done, so she went to the police department to explain.
Well, that's something, I guess.
Yes. And when she arrived, the four men were there, complaining about this crazy woman who threatened to shoot them.
So she hasn't been charged with anything?
No. No one was hurt, and she had a license for the gun. But if the woman had shot the men, she'd have been in serious trouble.
That's ridiculous. If the men hadn't run away, she could have killed them.
Yes, but no one was hurt.
That's really not the point. The point is, there are just too many people carrying guns these days.
Here you go.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome.
That reminds me, a guy in our street was arrested recently for shooting the tires of a car which was parked outside his house just because the alarm kept going off at night. He was charged with vandalism, lost his gun license, and had to pay a fine.
I have to say, I wouldn't have been too happy if the alarm had woken me up. Mm. Those car alarms drive you crazy going off night after night.
Sure, but you wouldn't have shot the tires.
Of course not, no. If it had been me, I might have left a note on the car or something.
What would the owner of the car have done if he'd seen him? I mean, the guy with the gun was seriously angry.
Yeah, well, we'll never know. So what sentence would you have given him?
Well, a lot more than just a fine and losing his gun license, that's for sure. He's a danger to society. I mean, I think we've got to do something about all this. All this violence. There were about 450,000 violent crimes involving guns in this country last year. We've got to do something.
Recording 3.2. 1.
If I'd known about it, I'd have come.
2.
If you'd told me, I could have helped you.
3.
She wouldn't have been upset if you'd called her.
4.
If Fred had studied harder, he might have passed.
Recording 3.3. 1.
If I hadn't gone to the party, I wouldn't have met her. If I hadn't gone to the party, I wouldn't have met her.
Two.
I'd have come round earlier if you'd asked me to. I'd have come round earlier if you'd asked me to.
Three.
If Sue had been more careful, she might not have got hurt. If Sue had been more careful, she might not have got hurt.
Four.
He wouldn't have known about it if you hadn't told him. He wouldn't have known about it if you hadn't told him.
Five.
If Dave had known when your flight was, he could have picked you up. If Dave had known when your flight was, he could have picked you up.
Recording 3.4.
I wouldn't have met her. If I hadn't gone to the party, I wouldn't have met her.
If you'd asked me to, I'd have come round earlier if you'd asked me to.
She might not have got hurt. If Sue had been more careful, she might not have got hurt.
If you hadn't told him, he wouldn't have known about it if you hadn't told him.
He could have picked you up. If Dave had known when your flight was, he could have picked you up.
Recording 3.5.
Good afternoon, Miss Mead. Come in and take a seat. Firstly, I'd like to say how sorry I am that this has happened.
Well, thank you for seeing me so quickly. I've been trying to get some legal advice for ages, but I was getting nowhere.
Glad I can be of help.
No one seems to understand what's happening, except my sister. My friends can't understand why I'm so anxious and why I can't just get on with my life.
Well, if people haven't experienced identity theft, they can't imagine what it's like or how much time it takes to deal with everything.
Yes, I know. I've had to take unpaid leave from work. It takes hours to make phone calls, write letters and see people. No one realises that bit.
No, they don't. So you, you're not working at the moment?
No, but I'm due back in a couple of weeks.
Right, so tell me, how did it all start?
Well, I didn't know anything was wrong until I got a letter from a credit card company about 4 months ago, asking if I'd tried to open a new account. I hadn't, of course. So I decided to check into things further and found that there were 6 new credit cards and 2 new bank accounts in my name. This other person had run up huge bills on the credit cards and both bank accounts were overdrawn.
So what did you do?
I went to the police. They took all the details, but basically they said that they couldn't do anything until I showed them some evidence that I hadn't spent all the money.
Yes, well, that's where I can help. So, who have you been in touch with so far?
Obviously the credit card companies, but it hasn't stopped this other person using the credit cards. I also, I told my bank to close the accounts that weren't mine, but as soon as one account was closed, she opened another.
Yes. Once this woman was in the system as you, she could do just about anything.
So it seems. Anyway, I also called my mobile phone company to tell them to close a new account that had been opened in my name, and they said that they had to check with the other Bonnie Mead.
And what happened?
They believed her and closed the case.
So no one believed you?
No. I even asked the credit card companies to send me copies of documents that I hadn't actually signed. And they did send them, but they sent them to her. It was unreal. I couldn't believe it was happening.
Right. Let's see what we can do to get your life back. First, I'll need, I'd like a copy of all your bills. Then if you could...
Recording 3.6.
Can. Can.
Was. Was.
Were. Were.
Has. Has. Us.
Have. Have. Of.
Are.
Do. Duh.
You. Yeah.
At. At.
For. F.
Of. Of.
To. T.
From. From.
As. As.
And. An.
That. That.
Some. Some.
A.
The. The.
Your. Yeah.
Recording 3.7.
Hello?
Hi, Bonnie. I got your message. I called back, but you were out. You sounded in a terrible state. Would you like me to come round?
No, it's okay. But thanks for offering. I feel much better now I've spoken to a lawyer.
Oh, yes. How did it go?
Well, I was there for about an hour, and he was very helpful. However, there was another threatening letter waiting for me when I got home.
Oh, no. Who from this time?
It's another one from a Hillard's department store, would you believe, saying I still owe them £1,000 for that sofa I never ordered. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but I spent 2 hours on the phone to them about it last week.
Let me give them a ring for you.
No, thanks. I'd better phone them myself. If you called them, it might get even more confusing.
Yes, it probably would. Anyway, what did the lawyer say?
Well, he wasn't impressed with my filing system, with everything in one file. The first thing he wants me to do is to put it all in different files, one for each company, and order all the bills by date. I'm not looking forward to doing that.
Would it help if I sorted it out for you?
It's a really boring job. Are you sure you wouldn't mind?
Of course not. I'm good at things like that.
Thanks. That'd be a great help. Don't think I can face going through all those letters again. Anyway, enough about me. How are things with you? You're off to see Meg in Paris soon, you lucky thing.
No, I can't go now. Nigel can't look after the kids because he's got to go to Rome for work.
Well, why don't I look after the kids?
Are you serious?
Of course I am.
Well, it'd be wonderful if you could.
Right, that's settled then.
Thanks. Do you want to come and stay here? I'll make a bed up for you if you like.
No, don't worry. It'd be easier if I brought the kids back here.
I could get our babysitter to come and help you in the evenings. You know, put them to bed and stuff.
No, that's okay. I can manage. So, when are you off?
The Eurostar leaves, at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening.
What if I pick the kids up from school and brought them straight here?
As long as you don't mind.
No, not at all.
That'd be great, thanks.
So, how long do you want me to look after them?
Oh, I thought I could leave them with you until they're all 18.
Oh, yes, right.
Recording 3.8.
Would you like me to come round?
No, it's okay. But thanks for offering.
Let me give them a ring for you.
No thanks. I'd better phone them myself.
Would it help if I sorted it out for you?
Are you sure you wouldn't mind?
Why don't I look after the kids?
Well, it'd be wonderful if you could.
I'll make a bed up for you if you like.
No, don't worry. It'd be easier if I brought the kids back here.
What if I pick the kids up from school?
As long as you don't mind.
Recording 3.9. 1.
Would you like me to help you move tomorrow?
Are you sure you wouldn't mind?
No, of course not.
Thanks. That'd be a great help.
Why don't I come over this evening and help you pack?
It'd be wonderful if you could.
2.
Let me help you pack those files.
No, don't worry. I'd better do those myself.
Well, what if I carry these heavy things downstairs for you?
As long as you don't mind.
Not at all. Then I'll pack up the computer and printer if you like.
No, that's okay. It'd be easier if I sorted those out.
Recording 4.1.
In 1987, the world's best sailors were competing in the America's Cup yacht race off the coast of Fremantle in Western Australia. One day, one of the sailors went for a drive in the outback and accidentally ran over a kangaroo. The sailor got out and leaned the dead kangaroo against the side of the car. Then he decided to put his America's Cup team jacket on the animal and take a few pictures to show his friends. However, it turned out that the accident hadn't killed the animal. It had only knocked it out. While the sailor was taking some photos, the kangaroo came round. Realising that something was wrong, the animal immediately ran away, taking the sailor's jacket, his passport, 3 credit cards, and $1,000 in cash with it.
In 1997, the crew of a Japanese fishing boat were rescued after their boat had sunk in very unusual circumstances. According to the fishermen, the boat had been sailing in calm waters when a cow fell from the sky and crashed through the boat. Unfortunately, the police thought the crew had made the whole story up and arrested them. They remained in prison while the police tried to work out why the boat had sunk. Eventually, the pilot of a Russian transport plane told the police what had happened. Before they took off from their Siberian airbase, the plane's crew had stolen some cows from a nearby field. While they were flying at 25,000 feet, one cow broke free and started running around inside the plane. The crew managed to push it out of the door and into the sea, or so they thought.
A woman from California had been trying to get rid of all the bugs in her home for years, but without success. Then in December 2001, she bought 19 bug bombs, which are designed to spread insecticide over a wide area. She put all the bug bombs in her house. But unfortunately, she hadn't read the instructions, which warned that no more than one bomb should be used at any one time, and they should never be used indoors. All 19 bug bombs went off at the same time, completely destroying the building and causing over $150,000 worth of damage. A number of bugs were also hurt.
Recording 4.2.
The boat had been sailing in calm waters.
The police thought the crew had made the whole story up.
The pilot told the police what had happened.
The plane's crew had stolen some cows.
A woman had been trying to get rid of all the bugs for years.
She hadn't read the instructions.
Recording 4.3.
100 Years of Solitude by the Colombian author Gabriel Garcia Marquez is the novel that made magical realism popular around the world. It tells the story of seven generations of the Buendia family who live in an isolated South American village called Macondo. This is a place where supernatural happenings are part of everyday life. At one point, everyone living in the village suffers from both insomnia and amnesia. Many characters also have magical qualities. One man whose girlfriend is the most beautiful girl ever born is always followed by hundreds of butterflies, and people who die early in the story often return as ghosts. The book has dozens of characters, which can make the plot difficult to follow, but a family tree helps you work out who's related to who. This brilliant novel, which Marquez says is based on his childhood memories of living with his grandparents, has sold over 10 million copies worldwide.
The House of the Spirits was the first novel written by the Chilean author Isabel Allende. It tells the story of three generations of women whose lives are changed by their country's politics. The women's story, which takes place in an unnamed South American country, begins when the granddaughter, Alba Trueba, finds some diaries that her grandmother Clara wrote 50 years earlier. As a child, Clara realizes she can see the future and is able to predict almost every event in her life. She marries a powerful landowner named Esteban Trueba, who builds her a large house in the country. The house is full of ghosts and spirits, which advise Clara on how to deal with family problems. The story takes place at a time when political groups are battling for control of the country, a fight that ends in a bloody coup and political chaos. This famous novel, which began as a letter to the author's dying grandfather, is considered a classic of the magical realism genre.
Recording 4.4.
Dave, have you ever played an April Fool's Day joke on anyone?
No, not really. But my brother Alan told me a great story about a practical joke from his university days.
He went to Bristol, didn't he?
Actually, it was Birmingham.
That's right. I knew it began with B. When was he there?
This was back in the mid-80s.
Oh, right.
Anyway, this story happened during Rag Week. You know, when students do all sorts of silly things to raise money for charity, like race each other down the main street on beds or walk around the streets in strange costumes collecting money or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We have the same sort of thing in Ireland.
Well, one day Alan and his two flatmates were woken up at 7 a.m. by the sound of workmen drilling the road outside their house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, what a nightmare. Apparently, they'd all been to a big party the previous night and had got to bed at about 4:30, so they didn't, they weren't too happy about being woken up first thing in the morning.
Yes, I can imagine. So what did they do?
Well, one of Alan's flatmates went out to a payphone across the road and called the police.
Really? What did he say?
According to Alan, his friend told the police that some university students were digging up the road outside their house, you know, as a Rag Week stunt.
You're joking.
No, really. He said that the students were dressed as workmen from the local council and asked the police to come round and make them stop. Obviously, he gave a false name and house number.
Right.
Meanwhile, Alan's other flatmate went out to tell the workmen that some students dressed as policemen were going round telling people what to do as part of a Rag Week stunt.
So what happened?
Well, about 10 minutes later, two policemen turned up and told the workmen to stop drilling. Obviously because they thought they were students. And of course the workmen just ignored them because they thought the policemen were students too.
What a great idea!
Yeah, I know. In the end, they managed to work out what had happened and realised they were all victims of a practical joke. Apparently, they thought it was quite funny.
And, what about Alan and his friends?
They were all secretly watching the whole thing from their window. Alan said it was absolutely hilarious.
I bet it was.
Luckily, nobody ever found out who'd called the police. Otherwise, they'd have been in big trouble.
That's a brilliant story.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Oh, by the way, have you heard from Sally recently? She lives in Birmingham now, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does, although we haven't been in touch for a while. I think she's still working at the same place, but...
Recording 4.5.
Hi, I'm home. Have you had a good day?
No, not really. Oh. Actually, it's been a bit of a nightmare.
Oh, dear. What's happened?
Well, first I waited in all morning for the new TV to be delivered, but they never turned up.
Oh, I don't believe it. Hadn't they promised to be here today?
Yeah, but I'm not surprised, to be honest. They didn't turn up last week either. I was pretty angry, though.
I bet you were.
Anyway, I called them and they said they'd definitely be here next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday? You must be joking.
That's the earliest they could do, they said. I told them if they didn't turn up next time, I'd cancel the order.
Quite right, too. That TV cost a fortune.
And then, my laptop crashed while I was on the internet. I think it's got a virus.
Didn't you install that antivirus software?
Not exactly, no.
Well, no wonder you've got a virus. I'll have a look at it later, if you like.
Thanks. What else? Jack got sent home from school.
Oh, no, not again. What did he do this time?
He was caught fighting during the break.
You're kidding. Oh, that boy drives me crazy sometimes. I keep telling him to stay out of trouble. Why on earth doesn't he listen to me?
He said that the other boy started it.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
I don't know what to do with him, Steve. I really don't.
Don't worry. We'll work it out. I'll go and talk to him in a bit.
Oh, there was one piece of good news. My brother Derek called. Guess what? He's finally found a job.
Wow, that's fantastic news. What sort of job?
It's in a department store selling furniture. Poor Derek. He's been unemployed for so long, I'm really pleased for him.
Yes, I can imagine. Did you ask him round this weekend?
Oh, no, I forgot. I'll call him again later.
Anyway, I'm dying for a cup of tea. Want one?
Yes, please.
And is there anything to eat? I'm starving.
Dinner's in the oven. So, how was your day?
Well, I had quite a good day, actually. Guess what?
Recording 4.6.
I don't believe it.
You must be joking.
You're kidding.
Why on earth doesn't he listen to me?
Wow, that's fantastic news.
I'm not surprised, to be honest.
I bet you were.
Well, no wonder you've got a virus.
Well, he would say that, wouldn't he?
Yes, I can imagine.
Recording 4.7.
Guess what? I've been promoted.
Wow! That's fantastic news!
Yes, I'm over the moon about it.
I can imagine. No wonder you look so happy. I'm really pleased for you.
Thanks. And I get a 40% pay rise.
You're kidding!
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, weren't they going to give the job to Stuart?
Yes, they were, but I'm not surprised they didn't, to be honest. He was really angry when he found out, though.
Oh, I bet he was.
And we're going to Florida this weekend to celebrate.
You must be joking! That'll cost a fortune!
Recording 4.8.
bonjour.